Good morning. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. And if each of you will take a moment as we prepare for worship to greet your neighbor and greet those around you. We'll take just a moment for announcements. If you'll look at your bulletin, we have the Love Loaf offering boxes in the back. If you'll please take one and fill it up and return it very soon. And continue to pray for those who will be receiving the blessings from these offerings. Tonight at 6 p.m., we have a classical concert. There's some information on it in your bulletin, and we hope that you will return and join us this evening as we begin preparing for the holiday season. Are there any other announcements?
It is the season of Advent, today being the first Sunday and the first day. We have here December, January, and February daily devotional daily bread, but we also have a few copies of a special Advent calendar of devotions for this season of Advent, and we call your attention to that and take one. There's some at the back of the sanctuary, there's some in the entrance hall to the educational building, and if we run out, we'll have more next Sunday. If we have a few left, we probably won't have any more next Sunday. We'll leave them there. So we want everybody to have one that desires one.
Any other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
I
others.
It's in the bulletin, but I call it attention. Elder nomination is next Sunday. Elder election is the second Sunday in December. We have three nominees listed in the bulletin, and you are invited to make additional nominations from the floor, provided you have contacted the person and got their approval to use their name, or that they will have agreed to serve if elected. Okay? So bring that to your attention.
Any others? Do we have any prayer or praise requests at this time? Any additions or deletions to the prayer list?
We only have one, maybe two.
My uncle Joe Brown fell and he's in his early 80s, and he was put into a hospital, broken hip. And he has just recently put his wife into Alzheimer's care facility and taking care of both of them and following their daughter's shelter. So pray for Joe and Emily Brown and their whole family. And also remember the family who come for him this week. Unfortunately, they all. Thank you.
Any others?
Your mother, Nina. She mentioned the first service, her mother, Nina. Pray for her.
Any others? As we prepare for worship this morning, let's take a moment of silence. Worship is found in your hymnal on page 122. The Advent of our Lord. Who shall come in the fullness of time to gladden the hearts of men? Who shall bring new joy to the world and the poor and the lonely defend? Who shall come on a cold winter's night when the world is hushed and still? Only the silent stars keep watch as a promise is fulfilled. Just as a child newly born, he shall come to a stable rough with sod. 'Tis gentle Jesus, Prince of Peace, the blessed Son of God.
We await him with reverent hearts. O come, Lord Jesus, come.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to page 72. We will glorify.
Experience, seeking, inviting your presence. Lord, we know that you are ever present at all times, in every place, but we need your special presence this hour. We want to glorify. We want to sing hallelujah. We know you to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we bow down before you. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that when your people are gathered in your name, that you come to worship with them or to enable them to worship you. And Lord, just center our thoughts on you. Let us focus on you. Lord, clear from our minds all that would distract or call us away. Lord, now we to seek your blessings on the community, especially those who are hurting, those who have had
material loss, those who are physically ill. Lord, we just lift our needs up to you and thanking you in the name of Jesus that you come to give us the help. And now, Lord, we come praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Let us express our faith in our Savior together. If you'll turn in your hymnal to number 716, or follow the screen for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In your hymnal, I will sing of the mercy. And we'll sing it like it's written, I hope. I may not get it. I don't always pay attention, so we'll try.
I will sing of the mercy of the Lord.
We'll sing the first and the last verse of O Perfect Love. Is this the same one that people used to sing at weddings? Okay. They'll still sing at weddings? Okay.
Thank you.
Our call to confession is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: "The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." And join me in our confession, prayer of confession. Father,
in Jesus Christ, you called us to be a servant people, but we do not do what you command. We are often silent when we should speak, and useless when we should be useful. We are lazy servants, timid and heartless, who turn neighbors away from your love. Have mercy on us, O God. And though we do not deserve your care, forgive us and free us from sin, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us rejoice and hear our assurance of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen.
Thank you.
children will please come forward. Children's time with Miss Andrea.
Thank you.
It's a whole different perspective when you're there. Melanie, you almost got us crying. I mean, Andrea, you almost got us crying. Our offertory sentence is taken from Chronicles 29, verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
page 280 in your hymnal. And we'll sing all five verses.
Today is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds and the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Watch. How many like to watch? We like a watch. Like to have a watch. Where did the watch get its name? From a clock? No. A miniature clock? Doesn't seem so. All that silliness though. I did have one friend who didn't wear a watch. He said people would always be bothering him asking what time it was. He didn't want to be watched. He didn't want to be watching for somebody else. And he said if he needed to know the time, that somebody else had a watch, so he could just ask them the time and they'd tell him. So he was never bothered by giving time to somebody else, and he always knew the time, unless he was alone by himself somewhere and needed to know the time. It's been said about many things, this too shall pass. I've said it over and over. My children sometimes accuse me, my family accuses me of being the fuddy-duddy, and sometimes when things are going good and we're so happy and joyous and excited, I'll say, this too shall pass. But also when we are sad and down and dragging and things we just don't know how we can get through the day, I like to be able to say then, this too shall pass. I say that to get to the point of saying, good or bad, good and bad, this old earth is not forever. This old earth one day will pass. It'll come to the end. End. No more. Does that thought bother you? Does it excite you? Bother you in the excited way? Or does it distress you? The end of everything you've worked for all of your life. And it just kind of goes up in smoke. And our friend, fellow church member, Jim Finley and Holly, saw that happening. Much of what they had worked for go up in smoke. What was it? Wednesday? People on the coast, the 30th of August, saw much that they had worked for just come to an end. But what about when it all comes to an end? The Bible teaches that that's going to happen. That the earth will come to an end and that it is coming to an end has been anticipated at least since the time of Christ. That there will come a time when time will be no more. Christians of the first century, 2,000 years before us, they look for the end of time. They look for Christ to return even in their lifetime. They thought Jesus would come in their lifetime and anticipated it, that Jesus would return to earth and take His faithful followers to heaven. And those who were not His followers, do you even want to think about what they anticipated would happen to them and what the Revelation writer John wrote about it, but others also? This anticipation of Jesus coming, that an anticipation that I still hold, and I believe that you hold, that He's going to come on the cloud as He went, in keeping with the Scripture as we know it, Jesus' words Himself, but also the angels that were with Jesus as He ascended and spoke to the disciples that were gathered watching Him ascend. They were gazing, sky gazing. They were sent back to town to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them where they would be empowered, or through which they would be empowered to be about the business of getting others ready for Jesus' return. We refer to that coming again as the second advent. At this advent wreath, we think about the first advent, but let us not limit our thinking to the first advent, the coming of Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem. Let us also know that He has promised to come again for the consummation of it all, when this too shall pass. 2,000 years have passed, though, since He made His promises. Others parroted what He said, and He has not returned yet? Should we expect him to keep his promise? Should we still, in our modern age, end quote, expect Jesus to fulfill this promise? My answer is, without a doubt, we should expect him. We should anticipate it happening. The Apostle Paul wrote to the doubters of his day. They wondered if Jesus really was coming back. And the Apostle Peter also wrote to the doubters of his day. Peter explained that, this is in the 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is, beginning with verse 8, we find Peter telling us that we don't count time like Jesus does or like God does. That a day with us is like a thousand years, or a thousand years is like a day. We can only see in a little segment of time, a little bitty window when you consider eternity. And Peter said that God was just giving more people an opportunity to come into the fold. That Jesus was not being slow in keeping his promise, as some were proclaiming, that he wasn't really going to come, or he was being also slow about it. If he's going to come, why didn't he come on? Says he was giving opportunity for more to trust him, come into his fellowship with him, to be saved, to repent of their wrongdoing. Paul taught it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. If you attend the funeral service and I do the part at the grave, I'll probably read, more than likely, I'll read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following, where Paul is explaining that Jesus is going to come in the air, descend with a shout, with the trumpet of God, and call the dead in Christ from the graves, those who died with faith in Christ, and call them from the grave and take them up, and then we who are alive and remain, if we be people of faith, will follow them up into a heavenly existence where we shall forever be with the Lord, a resurrected body. He goes into quite a bit of detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in explaining this, talking about the resurrection of the body and the resurrected body. And that Jesus was the first fruits of them that sleep. Jesus taught that he would return for his people. This passage, one of them is the passage that we have here. Time in this world on earth, what is that for then? It's for a time, and one of the things it's for, it's a time to get ready for the next world. This world is only temporary, friends. It's not eternal. What's the oldest person you've ever known? Steve Alamore said at 8 o'clock that he had known somebody that was 105. Have you known anybody that was 105 years old? I visited my dear mother this week. She will be 92 on the 5th of December. One of the oldest people that I've had much to do with, closest person, my grandmother on my dad's side lived to be 89, I believe. But that's about as old as we get in this world. Back in my younger days, I remember reading about some Civil War veterans who were ancient, like 110 or 120. What's the oldest person that you've ever known? Does anybody know anybody 105 have known? In your lifetime, somebody's 105. 100? Maybe 100? At best, if the world don't come to the end, at least we only last. We come to our end on this earth in about 70, 90, 100 years. That's stretching it. One lived longer than anybody else that we have record of. What, 900 and how many? 69. And what was his name? Methuselah. Old as Methuselah, we say. Does anybody know anybody as old as Methuselah? No. But even that is just half of the time since Christ came. The first time. So, at best, the best we know about, and some people say, do they count time like we count? Who knows? Who really cares? That was a long time anyway. But in our lifetime, we know people that live, you know, we're promised 70, maybe 120, but we don't get past that. Hardly. Have a 100th birthday, people go to the nursing home and celebrate with you. And the 100-year-old person says, I wish they'd leave so I could get some rest. I'm tired. Quit celebrating. No, they smile for the camera. Although our time on earth continues longer than some expected, and then some expect, it's still so short when you consider eternity. How long is eternity? Forever. How long is forever? Eternal. One of those I guess we can't answer, can we? It's longer and longer. God's Word, Jesus' teachings, the teachings of Jesus. I often say, if you have a red letter edition, and I happen to have one before me this morning, not always the Bible I use in the pulpit, but it's here this morning. God's Word, Jesus' teaching, but not only Jesus' teaching, they teach us how to live in this world so that we can make it to the next world with Him and not separated from Him. The passage. Mark chapter 13. We begin with verse 24. Look at the passage. In this passage, we really have two events being mentioned. One is the destruction of Jerusalem. The other is the end of the world. And they're kind of mixed up and intertwined there. And you have to kind of figure out which is which, if you can. And it may be very similar. But Jesus said to the apostles, to the disciples back there, look at these great buildings that were in Jerusalem. Look at these great buildings. This is verse 2. Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they got him off by himself. They wanted to know privately. They wanted to have a little edge on the rest of the disciples, I guess. They sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus goes into an exposition. The next chapter, through verse 37, explaining. And he was telling that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The temple was going to be destroyed. Did it happen? History records it in 70 A.D. it was destroyed. The Romans got fed up with the Hebrews. They were fighting the Christians and they were rebelling against the Romans. And they were getting too hard to handle. So the Roman government just said, get rid of them. Destroy them. So they destroyed Jerusalem. Tore the temple down. It happened. 70 A.D. But Jesus also talked about, in this same chapter, the passage that we read about, the end of time. One day the earth is going to come to an end too. Verse 34 is a parable. Actually, there are two parables in this. One is verse 34, the parable of the... thought I had a copy of the scripture that was marked. The parable of the fig tree. But then a parable of a householder, an owner of a house, going off to somewhere and leaving the house in the care of the servants. That's what Jesus said it would be like. He was going away. He was going away and was leaving the earth in the care of His people. A man going away, he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge. And while we are left here, each has an assigned task. Why does the church always call on us to do something? To help us to find that task that we need to do. We've been studying the spiritual gifts in this church off and on Wednesdays since way back last spring. We're still having a class on Wednesday night looking and determining and taking a little test to figure out what is our gift. You're welcome. Wednesday night. We're going to do it this Wednesday night. We don't know about all of December. That's yet to be announced. But this Wednesday night, we'll meet and study about another spiritual gift, if you like to. And if you know your spiritual gift, you'll know probably what task it is that God has left for you to do. Some people say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I still remember this alcoholic that I used to deal with every other month. Why every other month? Because his brother was drunk the alternate months. And that's the truth. And he'd get drunk about every other month, and while he was drunk, he'd say, Larry, God's saving me for something. I'd say, well, what is it? He'd say, I don't know. I'd say, well, let's find out. Oh, I can't ever find out, but I know He's saving me for something. What that man was saying is God had a task for him to do. And he knew he had a task for him to do, but he never found out what the task was, to my knowledge. He was middle-aged, 50-plus at that time. Some would think that would be an old man, kind of young now from where I stand, but that's okay. The task. Each with an assigned task. That's in verse 34. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. But he don't only tell one to keep watch. Jesus goes on to say that he's telling everybody to keep watch. Watch for his coming. Watch for the householder to come back. The keeper of the door is supposed to watch. And he's supposed to say to those inside the house, hey, the boss is coming. Look busy. Is that right? Get everything cleaned up. It was my younger sister and my job to come home from school and make things right in the kitchen as we were growing up. And Mother would be home at 4:30. And sometimes we would wait till 4:25 even to start. But we certainly looked busy when she walked in that door. If we didn't, and things were not in order, we paid the price. And the price was varied. It was not always the same. She kept surprising us. Keep watch. Keep watch. Where are we today? Hopefully we are waiting for Jesus and watching. Hopefully we are not saying, well, He's not going to come. Hopefully we're still anticipating Him. Some people don't like to wait. How do you like to wait? You hear about the young girl who didn't like to wait? This guy asked her for a date. He promised to be there on a Friday night at 7 o'clock. Well, she got all dolled up. Girls, has that ever happened to you? You got all dolled up Friday night. She was ready at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock came and no boyfriend. 8 o'clock came and no boyfriend. She had waited as long as she was going to wait. She knew that she had been stood up. She was even embarrassed. Her brothers and sisters were asking about what was happening to her. Her parents were very nice, but they were kind of wondering. Wanted to ask her about that boyfriend that they had even warned her about, you know. Well, she goes in and she just gets so frustrated. She pulls off her pretty clothes. She takes off her makeup. She rolls her hair where it'd be pretty the next day because she was going shopping on Saturday. You know how it is. She was going shopping the next day, so she got her hair rolled. She put on her bed clothes. She went to the cupboard and got some junk food. She went and got her dog. She came into the living room. She sat down to watch television and just have a relaxing night at home. Mad at that guy for not showing up. 9 o'clock came, a knock at the door. She gets up and goes to the door. He looks at her and he says, "What, 2 hours late and you're still not ready?" She grew tired of waiting, though. She stopped watching for him. But Jesus says, "Don't let my return sneak up on you." That's in plain language. Don't let my return catch you off guard or with your guard down. Be ready. Be anticipating. We must be ready at all times. Because he explains in here, we really can't tell. Some will come and say it's going to be tomorrow. William Miller, you know who William Miller is? Was? Back in the 1800s, I think about 1840s. He determined that he had figured out when Jesus was going to come. And Jesus said even he didn't know. Of course, Jesus who was God knew, but Jesus, the human Jesus, the only thing I can find that he didn't know is he didn't know when it was all going to come to an end. When all of this would pass. William Miller determined that he had figured out the time. He's not the only one, but he's one that we kind of know something about. And he set the date, figured out the date. I think it was in April of 41. Not sure of the exact date. And the day came, and he got a group of people together, and they waited and waited and waited, and nothing happened. Well, he said he had miscalculated. So he goes back and calculates again. And about 2 days later, and they waited and waited and waited. And he said it didn't happen. Some of them had sold their goods. Some of them had sold their houses. Some of them had gone to the church and just to wait with him. Well, he said, no, he'd made a mistake. It's supposed to come in October. So they believed him again. October came and the particular day that he had set, and nothing happened. Nothing happened about the world didn't come to an end. And he said, well, don't know what he did wrong. But those people, followers of Miller, became Seventh-day Adventists. That's how they got their start. And since then, I remember in the 60s, a group out in Arizona decided the world was coming to an end. They had figured it out today. Calculated it. Some of them got in iron cabins waiting for it. Some of them went underground waiting for it. Jesus says, don't work trying to figure it out. Just be ready when I get here. And while we're waiting, we need to be doing the task that we're assigned to. If we don't know that task, we need to find out. The man in the parable left each person with an assigned task. Read about people who were waiting and waiting and didn't want to do anything else and quit doing any tasks. You read about the Thessalonians. They were idle. Why were they so idle? They thought the time was coming, had come for the end, and Jesus would be back, you know, back tomorrow. No need to work, no need to make any plans. Martin Luther said if the world was coming to an end tomorrow, that he would plant a tree today. Do the task that's before us. Paul wrote to those Thessalonians and said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Get busy, folks. There's things to do. Why you wait? Until the very end. There is work to do in God's kingdom. For some of us, it might be evangelism or leading the lost to trust Jesus. There's a lot of people still not saved. To others, it might be teaching those how to live better until He comes. How to be better prepared when Jesus does get here. For others, it might be preaching. Teaching or preaching. It might be the job of helping someone else do something. The gift of help. That might be your assigned task. For others, it might be service. And that service could be as small or as large, according to where you're standing, as bringing a glass of cool water to a thirsty person. If you're a thirsty person, it's a pretty important thing, isn't it? If you're giving the water, you don't think much of it. It's just a glass of cool water. The ministry of service. Let me read verse 26 and 27. The time men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. As to the time, the exact time, we need not inquire. Just be ready. There's one little story I found about a little girl in school. The little girl had the messiest desk in the classroom. A school official came to visit the class one day and looked around and he said, maybe he was picking on this little girl. He says, I'm going to come back soon. Didn't tell him when. I'm going to come back soon. And the one that has the cleanest desk, I'm going to bring a prize. Well, doesn't matter what the prize is, but third and fourth graders like prizes, don't they? So the little girl determined that she would get the prize. And she announced to the class, when that official comes back, I'm going to have the neatest desk in the classroom. Her classmates laughed at her. Her classmates said, "Why, Mary, your desk is always out of order. It's never cleaned up." Mary Beth, Mary Jo both know something about these kind of students, right? The mess around their desk all the time, in the desk, they can't find anything. But Mary was determined to get that prize. So she says, "Oh, starting right now, I'm going to clean my desk up the first of every week." Well, her fellow student said, "But just suppose he comes at the end of the week." And then she said, she had an answer. She said, "Well, I'll clean my desk every morning, not just on Monday, every morning." And so they wanted to prove to her that she wasn't going to get the prize again. And they said, "Well, what if he comes in the afternoon?" She was silent for a moment. And after thinking about it, her face lightened up and she announced, "I know what I'll do. I'll just keep my desk clean all of the time. So whenever he comes, I'll be ready." And how does that sound for us? Whenever Jesus comes with the prize, let's be ready. 124 is the song. It's kind of a longing song. A longing song. It's about inviting Him to come. Inviting Jesus to come. Let's stand together and sing both verses of 124. Thank you.
will be glory for me. Come, Lord Jesus Christ.
My God, together, Lord, find us together with God, and let not be broken. Find us together, Lord.
That actually is